Well, good morning. Hey, let me ask you a question. How many of you, be honest, how many of you love to win? Okay, how many of you would say, no, you know what, I'm a Christian and you don't have to win all the time, right? You know what I mean? You first, you go ahead and win, it doesn't bother me. How many of you? Gee whiz. Sorry. I'll let you go with that. 1 Corinthians 9:24, Paul says this, "Don't you realize that in a race everyone runs, but only one gets the prize?" Everybody runs, but only one gets a prize. Apostle Paul wrote most of the New Testament, said, listen, we are to run to win. He's talking about his Christ followers. Listen, there's more at stake. We got to run to win. He didn't say run to finish. Just run to finish. Just go ahead and run, because everybody gets a participation ribbon. Wish I'd have preached this last week before the Lions played. Maybe they could have heard that. You don't just play for a half. Anyway, don't get me started on that. You run to win. And to quote the famous theologian Ricky Bobby, if you ain't first, you're last. That's how I feel. If you ain't first, you're last. Like, come on. The Apostle Paul says, listen, we're to run to win. But if you look at life, why is it that so often it doesn't feel like we're winning? I mean, look at spiritually even. Look at your life spiritually. Why is it that I'm a Christian and why doesn't it feel like I'm winning spiritually sometimes? We try to get close to God, right? I want to get close to God, but I don't feel like I'm winning. Why does it feel like you want to win financially? And some of you are like, I'm not winning. I just, no matter what I can do, it's like one step forward and one step back, or two steps forward and three steps back. I mean, I want to. I'm trying. Even relationally. You ever have relationships that struggle? Of course you have, because that's life. And you say, I want some trusting relationship, and yet I want a great marriage. I want a trusting marriage, and I want my kids to work out right, right? I want good things for them, and we're trying to be the best parent. It's not always working. Why is it that sometimes you just get overwhelmed in your mind, your anxiety? You're trying to think Christ-like thoughts. You just sing these songs, and it seems so appropriate on Sunday morning. And then you go out into the real world, and you're like, why? I've been trying, but it doesn't seem to be working. And then Paul comes along and says, listen, you run to win. And if we're supposed to run to win, why aren't I winning? If you would, take out your message outlines. You can fill this in. We're going to build off of this today. Let me give you the answer why for many of us we're not winning. Because you've been trying too long, for far too long. You've been trying for far too long. That's why you're not winning. You're like, what? Trying too much. You even hear it in the words. Think about your own words. I'm trying to get close to God. I'm trying to read my Bible more. Trying to be more consistent with prayer. I'm trying to be more consistent with worship. I'm trying not to procrastinate all the time. I'm trying to eat better every single day, but the refrigerator calls my name late at night. Trying to not make excuses. Trying to go to bed at a decent time. I'm trying to do the right things financially. Trying not to be negative, trying not to gossip, trying to stay off of social media. But there's just this magnet for me. The problem is, for many of us, is we've been trying for far too long. What I want to do today is I want to give you a very, very powerful change in perspective that comes straight out of God's word. And I'm telling you that this change in perspective really can make a big, big difference in your life and mine. And it's about this whole series that we're in called Inside Out. You see, it's not just about my power. It's about God's power living in me. It's an inside-out job. And if we could just review for just a little bit of where we've been, because we've built on these things each week. And if you missed one or all of these, you can go back and watch on our YouTube, and you can take this in. And I'm just telling you, we've covered a lot of ground. Because here's some of the things that we said. Like in week one, we said real and lasting change isn't behavior modification. It's spiritual transformation. It's an inside-out job. We've all tried to change our behavior on the outside, but we go back to the same behavior because that's just done in our power. It's really not a heart change. It's behavior change. Spiritual transformation works from the inside out. God has to do a work in your heart and in my heart for real change to be lasting change. And then we said, here's the secret of you. We've wondered, why do you do what you do? And you do what you do because of what you think of you. We talked about that early on in this series. You and I do what we do because of what we think of you. And so we said, wow, we've got to do something different. We got to allow God to do an inside-out job. And so one of the things we said is based on who you want to become, based on who God wants you to become, what's one new habit that you need to start? Based on what God wants for you and what you want for you, what would be one habit that you need to start doing? Don't pick 10 because you get overwhelmed. Pick one. And then we looked at last week, based on what you want to become, what's one habit you need to break? Because we're all doing things that are not necessarily wrong. They're not even necessarily sinful, but they're not getting us towards what we want to become and what God wants us to become. So what do we need to start? What do we need to break? We went all the way back and we said we have to start with a spiritual who. A spiritual who, right? Who do you want to become? Who does God want you to become? That's a spiritual who. And then we said we got to talk about a spiritual why. Why do you want to become that? Why do you want to eat better? Well, because this is, so I look better in a bathing suit. That's a why. But if it's a spiritual why, it's because God says this is a temple, that he's given me one body. And he lives in my body as a believer. And so why would I trash my temple? I need to take good care of this one temple that I've been given. That adds a spiritual why. Then we said a spiritual what? What are you going to do? What do you need to start based on who you want to become? And then we said, what's the what not? What are you going to break? And then today I want to talk about a spiritual how. How do you do this? How do we have a shift in perspective? How do we have a change of mindset about, I try to do this, but I'm not really seeing the results? What's the difference? Well, we've been trying too long, and so we've got to have a spiritual what. A what not, we've looked at that, but we're going to have a change of mindset. And the reason that many of us are still struggling is because we've been trying for far too long, and here's the deal if you're taking notes. This is going to be a big shift for some of you today, and we're going to build on it for the rest of our time together today. I encourage you, by the power of God's word, to stop trying and start training. Stop trying, because you've been trying for far too long, and start training, and there's a big, big difference. You've got to stop trying to be all that God wants you to be, and you've got to start training to become who God wants you to be, and there's a big, big difference. I want to show you in Scripture that whenever Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and they would have loved this competitive metaphor, he spoke their language. And when he said, who loves to win, everybody would have been like, yeah, we do for the glory of God, you know? We want to do that. We want to win. And here's why Paul, when he spoke the language of, hey, run to win, they got it. They understood. Because in Corinth, in that time, Corinth was a city in Greece, by the way. And every 4 years in Greece, they hosted an Olympic Games. And people, the buzz, it was crazy around competition. And athletes would come from all over to Greece for this competition of the Olympics. And then every 2 years, so the Olympics was every 4 years, but every 2 years, they had kind of an in-between, a little less than the Olympics. It was called the Isthmian Games, and it was kind of a smaller version of the Olympics. And they would all gather, and listen, they would have chariot races. Can you imagine? Olympic game, chariot racing. They had boxing. Still do. They had wrestling. Still do. They had poetry contests. A little weird for me. But hey, you call that a game? Okay, that's probably not for me. But they had wrestling. They had boxing. They had chariot races. And yes, for those of you that are competitive, but not physically, poetry. I'm not making this up. You can do the research. The history is there. And so the Corinthians would have been leaning in whenever Paul asked the question. Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. Now watch what he doesn't say. He doesn't say all athletes are disciplined and they're trying. Doesn't say that. What does he say? He says all athletes are disciplined in their training. Not in their trying, but in their training. Stop trying and start training. That's what these athletes do. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. I don't know if you've ever seen the old kind of Olympic games. They give them this kind of this reef made of reefy stuff, leaves and stuff. It was like this thing. You could put it on your head. It's like, we've come a long way, and at least you get now a gold medal, but hey, you could have had a wreath. And it only lasts for a few weeks. I don't know how long those wreaths last, but anyway, it's kind of like flowers that you pay $150 for. What? Anyway, I'm going to get myself in trouble today. I better move on. But they'd win this wreath. That's what their prize was. But they were running to win. And these guys would have got it because they had these Isthmian games. They had the Olympic games right there. They all understood. But then Paul flips it. He said, listen, you're doing it to win this little wreath, and you still want to win. But I'm telling you as a believer, we run for an eternal prize. We do it for the glory of God. Listen, what I want you to win at makes a difference of where people will spend eternity. He said, I want you to run. They're not just going to get a wreath that's going to dry up and wither away, but this is for an eternal prize. And so Paul said this, I run with purpose in every step. I'm not shadow boxing, right? I'm not just going through the motions. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. For God's glory, right? So stop trying and start training. Now, here's what's interesting. In those Olympic games, the way those athletes were trained was incredibly wild. It was intense. If you looked at an Olympic athlete today, I'm sure the intensity has just grown because we've gotten wiser and wiser. They've got all kinds of legal substances they can take, right, to help their bodies recover, to help get stronger, to get faster. We know more about nutrition. We know more about training and interval training and how much the body needs to rest and how you can push it to get the most out of it. And I mean, it's just crazy. They did that then at their own level, right? So these people, they said, would take a 10-month regimen. Now, today, it's way longer. You'll hear an Olympic athlete, they train for 4, 5, 6, 8 years for one Olympic Games. They're so disciplined. It kind of like make me sick, but listen, they did it. Like back then, 10 months, they'd go on a restricted diet. They'd be like, there is no way I'm eating any junk food. Some of you are like, meh, I'm out. That's not me. For 10 months, they'd drink no wine. Some of you others are like, okay, I'm out now again, right? And they would, that's what they would do. And get this, is kind of crazy. The runners, these Olympic runners, they trained nude. Now, there was no sexual reason behind it. They actually did it because they were kind of proud of their body because they were so disciplined. The other thing is they didn't want anything holding them back, anything to restrict them, right? So they would run nude. They would train nude. Like you'd be, oh, I bet they're a part of the Olympics, right? Now, if somebody tried to be an imposter, they'd probably pick you out right away. Like, whoo, your body, like, no, cover that up, please. But anyway, and then think about it. I'm even thinking, because this is how my mind works, there would have been another component that would give you an advantage to racing like that or running like that nude. Because if that were me, if I was going to be in this race, I'm even more motivated to start out fast and get in the front. I don't want to be behind all these people. Right? So there's even that added thing. I know some of you hadn't even thought about that, but anyway, that's true. And so you'd want to be out front. They said if you were a wrestler, these wrestlers, when it was 100 degrees outside, they'd go outside and they'd wrestle under the heat to try to build up stamina and try to get through some adversity and lose weight and just be more fit because they're wrestling in this hot sun. And then when it got really cold, they'd go outside and they'd wrestle in the cold to try to develop some stamina there. And so they did this. They said others, they would wrestle bulls. They would wrestle some horses. They would, if they could grab a wild animal that wouldn't just rip them apart, they would wrestle them to try to get an advantage, to try to get stronger, to get more prepared. So when Paul started speaking this language to that kind of a group of people, they understood. He's talking serious stuff, but he was saying towards spiritual things. Now here's what I find interesting. When you look at Scripture and you really focus, there's nowhere in the Bible that I've ever found that tells you to try to be more godly. It never says, try to honor God with your faith. Try to be more disciplined. Instead, look what Paul says in 1 Timothy 4:7. Train yourself to be godly. Not try to be godly, but train yourself. Don't try, but train. And then listen, he says, physical training, that's good, but training for godliness is so much better. So he's taken these people that were that understood the Olympics, the Isthmian Games, they understood what it meant to physically train to run a race, but he's flipping the script and he's saying, but we're going after something more important than that. We're doing something spiritually because there's eternal implications for every person you know and love and even for yourself. So training for godliness is even much better than training for these games. There's benefits that don't just affect you in this life, but for eternity. So we're not trying to be different. We need to train to be different. Now let me break it down and make it really, really simple. Let me tell you what trying does. It's on the back side of your notes. Trying is an attempt to change with minimal commitment. You get that? Trying is it's an attempt to change with minimal commitment. That's why many of us have tried a lot of things over and over and over and over and over, because trying only takes minimal commitment, right? You kind of bring a half-hearted attempt. You're really not sold out. You kind of build in some escape clauses, right? Trying to eat better. But it's my birthday. It's your birthday. It's my neighbor's birthday. We're watching the football game. The Super Bowl is next Sunday. Valentine's Day's right around the corner. I mean, what's a guy to do, right? That trying is just an attempt to change with minimal commitment. Trying to pray more. Trying to read my Bible more. Trying to put God first more. Trying to worship more consistently. But trying is an attempt to change with minimal commitment. But training, on the other hand, it's way different. What is training? Training is a wholehearted commitment to achieve a specific result. Training is way different than trying, because training is a wholehearted commitment. It's not half-hearted. It's not minimal commitment. It's wholehearted commitment to achieve a specific result. It's more of a sellout. And you know the difference. That's why a lot of us are stuck with trying. I'll try to do better next time. I'm trying. But training is different. When you're training, let me give you two thoughts about when you're training. When you're training, you get the gear. You get the gear. When you're at least serious about training, you get the gear. If you're going to be a runner, what do? You go out and buy running shorts, because they got special shorts for runners. They're shorter. They don't restrict. They breathe. They're lighter, right? You get running socks, because, honey, I got to have the running socks, because my regular socks soak up too much sweat, which will give me blisters because it creates heat and friction. And they have socks that will get rid of the moisture. And then you got to have the right running shoes, because it all starts at a foundation. And then you need a running shirt, right? Like, I'm going to run out where there's cars, so I want something with reflectors on it. I want something that's going to breathe and cool down. And then if you're really cool, you're like, I need certain glasses for running because they're more aerodynamic, right? And then you got to have the right kind of thing to carry your water in, whether it's a camel pack on your pouch, on your back, right? Or a specific kind of water bottle. And then the real elite runners, they'll even get a fanny pack, because inside that fanny pack, they have stuff that you don't even know what it is, but they take these little tubes of stuff out and it's got goo in it, and they'll open it up and they'll squeeze the goo in their mouth while they're running, because it gives them stuff that their body's losing. You're like, I never did that. Because you were trying. Now, some of us are more advanced. Some of us have bought all that stuff, and we still just tried. We didn't really train. But it sounded good because, honey, I need all this stuff. Like, I'm serious. Some of you were that serious when you bought a Peloton. You bought that treadmill. You got the most expensive closet in your room with that treadmill that hangs closed now because you were just trying. You weren't training. But when you're serious about training, you get the gear. The second thing that you do is you create a game plan. If you're serious and you want to train, you get the gear, but you also develop a game plan, don't you? You know Rocky? He trained before he fought Apollo Creed. Remember that? He had a game plan. The people around him helped him with his game plan. Do you remember he went into the meat locker and he was pounding those sides of beef? You remember that? You remember he went into a basement and they had him chase chickens to make him quicker? You remember him going out for jogs? This is crazy. I'm going to put you on the spot. But I wonder how many people remember all the Rocky movies. How many of you got so pumped up watching Rocky that you at least tried once to drink a raw egg? Come on. Am I the only one? Serious. Nobody else did that, or you just don't want to admit it? Wow, I lost heart in some of you guys today. Remember him jogging up the steps and getting on top? Yes, and everybody's going, they played Eye of the Tiger. Boom, 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 boom. Remember that? I mean, you're like, you're pumped. Like, you're ready to go train that day. You know how much they said exercise equipment and attire went up when Rocky did his thing? Because we were all so pumped up. But you know what many of us did? We might have bought the gear, but we were just trying. It was like, whew, now I ain't getting up that early. I ain't running like that. It looked a lot easier for Rocky. When I ran and jumped up some bit, I'm breathing so hard and I got up the steps, nobody was there cheering me on, right? When you're training, you come up with a game plan, you get the gear, you're devoted to it. Everybody else will say, hey, how do you have time to do that? You know how you have time to do that sort of thing? And that Paul was talking to these people? Because you realize that I have time when I make a priority to have the time. Can I tell you something about you and about me? You know what you have time for? Whatever you and I deem to be priority. You'll have time for it. Person loves to golf, you'll find time to golf. Whatever it is that you really, you'll find a priority. And what Paul's saying is, listen, we need to be in training because what we've been entrusted with, the gospel, the good news, is that God's not mad at people. He's madly in love with people. And there's people dying every day that don't know it. And we've got a bunch of Christian people that are trying when we should be training. We need more and more of us to do that, right? Because one day this world as we know it's going to be gone. We need people that are listening as Christ followers say, you know what? I'm going to get up every day and I'm going to train to be all that God wants me to become. So there's a habit that I'm going to start. There's one I'm going to need to break. There's a spiritual how. I got to have a mind shift. I got to stop trying. I got to train. I need to get up and open up my Bible every day. Because I can't speak God's truth and share God's truth if I don't know it. And so I've got to put it in. And you know what? I'm on a journey. I'm in a relationship with God. So I'm going to start to journal. I'm going to write down what God's speaking to me about and jot down some of his truth so that I can refer back to it and I can trace my prayers and see how faithful God is. I'm going to get involved more than I've been involved. You know why? Because I've got something to offer. I've got time. I've got talent. I've got financial resources that are going towards something rather than just handed to somebody one day that I don't really even care for. I want to be a part of what God is doing, and that's how I become more godly. I'm going to train to become more of who God wants me to be. I'm going to get involved teaching kids because I love kids, or I can't stand kids, so I'm going to work in a different area. I'm going to be a greeter. I'm going to be an usher. I'm going to work out in the parking lot. I'm going to volunteer at the office. I'm going to use my voice. I'm going to use my ability to play an instrument. I'm going to do what I do that God has gifted me with to be a part of something that's bigger than myself because it matters. We're not just trying to be godly. We're going to train. And so notice what Paul says. Don't miss this again in verse 26 and 27 of 1 Corinthians 9. He says, so I run with purpose in every step. God direct me. I want to be purposeful in all I do because what I'm doing with this one life that you've given me, it matters. Show me your will. Show me who to love. I've got purpose in every step. He says, I'm not just shadow boxing. I'm not just going through the motions. I discipline my body. Watch this, like an athlete. Training my body to do what it should for your honor and for your glory because life isn't just about me and mine. You created me with a purpose and for a purpose and on purpose in this season and this time, and I want to be about your work. And the power of God in us is stronger than the wrong desires in us. We've looked at that this series. I'm not trying, I'm training. I got the gear, I got a plan, and I'm training. We kind of have a running joke around my house. My son's 33 years old, right? And men, you wrestle when you're kids and then they get older and you keep wrestling, right? Because men, we got something to prove, right? So my son will still come over and he wants to kind of push on me and try to wrestle with me. Last time we arm wrestled, I still beat him and I remind him of that very often because I'm like, last year, I said, do you realize you got to go tell your friends that a 60-year-old man still beats you in arm wrestling? And then he wants to show me in other ways that he's stronger, right? And then he says, you're an old man. I'm like, yeah, but this old man just beat you in arm wrestling. So let's talk about this, right? And so both of us are very competitive, obviously. But you know what my thought is? Yeah, there's a lot of people you can be like, yeah, my best days are behind me. And you know what? Yeah, can't hang with the young bucks. I've not got to that point yet. In my mind, no, I can still hang with you young bucks. You know what? And I train. I've went through seasons where I was just trying, right? I'm back on my path where 6 days a week I'm lifting weights. I'm doing cardio stuff. I'm training. I'm eating better, right? Because I need to because I've only got one body. And plus, you know, I've got this thing called pride. And this competitive spirit that, hey, don't get mad at me. God gave that to me. I'll claim that until I die. And then he says, okay, dummy. Anyway, I don't know how that'll work, but listen, how does it play out in your life? How does it play out in your life? In real life stuff. I mean, we're kind of making some fun of some of that stuff in me, but how does it play out for real in your life? You've been trying to save your marriage. You need to train to have a great marriage. Matter of fact, you need a mind shift to say, listen, yeah, our marriage is where our marriage is, but you know what? I've got the gear. Maybe you need matching t-shirts. I don't know. I know that's kind of cheesy. I look back, one of the first things Deb and I did when we first started dating is we had our pictures taken and got shirts with both of us on them, right? I know that's kind of cheesy. We found one. We still have that. I should have wore it today, but in all honesty, it probably wouldn't fit. And then it'd be like, that defeats that purpose. But anyway, but you get a game plan. Because it's not enough to try to have a great marriage. You need to train for one. Some of you, seriously, you need good Christian marital counseling. So somebody can teach you the skills that you need to have a great marriage. It doesn't just happen by trying. You've got to train. You've got to get the gear. You've got to have a game plan. You're trying to be a better friend. No, you need to be a good friend in training. You need to have a good marriage in training. Okay, your marriage is where it is, but we're training to have the marriage that God wants us to have, and you know that He wants you to have a great marriage. So we're not just a bad marriage. We're a bad marriage that's getting better because we're training. I'm not in such a good place financially, but I'm not just going to try to get better financially. I'm going to train. I'm going to get the gear. I'm going to take advice. I'm going to get the counseling. I'm going to get on a budget, on a spending plan. I'm going to do it God's way and put Him first because my way hasn't been working. So I'm going to train. And every week there's a goal. You're marking it down. You're seeing your pathway. Because you're done trying, because trying won't get you there. You're training. And every week in this series, we've came up with a question. Every week, we've ended with some kind of a goal. What's the question this week? Let me set it up. You're not trying to become something that you're not, right? You're not trying to become something that you're not. You're actually training to become who God already sees that you are, who He created you to be, what He expects and what He wants out of your marriage. That's what you're doing. You're in training to become all of that. So here's the question, and don't miss this because this really is a game changer. The difference of what happens from this day forward for every single one of us is the difference between trying and training. So based on who you want to become, based on who God wants you to become, how are you going to train? Based on who you want to become, the marriage you want to have, the where you want to be financially, and what God wants for you, how are you from this point on going to train? You got to get the gear. You got to have a plan because you're not trying, you're training. Let me ask you this. How many of you have ever done any kind of martial arts? You went through that. Anybody? How many of you? Come on, be honest. Doesn't mean you're doing that today, but you've at least done. Yeah. That's not something I've ever done. But I know some people that not only have, but they still do that. And it's interesting when you hear them talk. I know a guy that has trained in Taekwondo for many, many years, and he still does to this day, and I know a lot of people that have went to him. And here's what's interesting. If when I would get into a conversation with him, right, it's kind of funny because we had this relationship. He kind of played basketball like I think he probably taught martial arts. He was sometimes pretty aggressive, right? And sometimes because he was ultra competitive and I was ultra competitive, we'd kind of, you know, face off a little bit. And I'm thinking that, you know, I'm sometimes not the smartest person in the world. So you got to know when to back down. But anyway, if you talk to somebody that trains in martial arts and you ask them seriously, what's the hardest belt to get? The obvious answer is a black belt because that's the top of the food chain. But if you ask these people what's the hardest belt to get, you know what they'll tell you? White. You'd be like, white, isn't that what you get when you first start? Yes. But why is that the hardest? Because most people never start. Most people never start. If you asked me what's a black belt, I'd say somebody you run from. Right, if you're smart. But the hardest belt to get is the white. Because most people will never start. Many of us have been trying. You pick the area or the areas of your life. You've been trying and trying and trying and trying for far too long. What if we took a page out of Paul's book, especially as believers, not necessarily towards a sport, but towards the things in life that really matters, your marriage, your health, this one body that you have, your finances, because you're not an owner, you're a steward. We don't own a thing. One day I'm going to give an account to God for everything I did with what He put in my hands. I'm going to give an account for what I did with this one body He gave me as a temple that He lives in. I'm going to give an answer for the time and the talent and the treasures that He's put into my hands. What did I do for His honor and for His glory? Did I just make a living, or did I look past that and say there's more to life than what everybody else is doing? Because this is a spiritual thing. It's not about behavior modification. This is about spiritual transformation that comes from the inside out. Based on what I want and God wants me to come, what's something I need to start? What's something I need to stop doing? What is an area that I need to stop trying in and start training in? I need to get the gear. I need to make some changes. I need to come up the game plan. I need to show up and let God empower me to do through me what He's created me to be. I'm not trying to be something that I'm not. I'm not trying to be something else. I'm training to become the person that the God of this universe uniquely and handmade me to be. And there's nothing more important. Trying won't get it done, but training will. And it's not under your power. It's an inside-out job. It's God's power living inside of us, which is something believers have that the rest of the world that doesn't know Jesus doesn't have. Stop trying. Start training. Would you bow your heads with me? God, I pray today that this would be a turning point for many people. God, we want to change. Many of us, we've tried and tried and tried, but we've failed. God, change our mindset that it's not about trying, it's about training. That it's not about willpower, it's about your power. God, give us a clear picture of who you want us to be. You uniquely created us to be unlike any other person that's ever been nor ever will be created. And you put us in this time in history for a purpose. Not just to make a living and retire one day, hopefully, and die, but you've given us abilities and personalities and resources to make a difference for eternity that no one else can do just like we can do. God, give us a spiritual why to become who you want us to become. What do we need to start? What do we need to stop? What do we need to quit trying and come up with a plan and start training? God, I pray that there would be people here that would just step across that line today. Not behavior modification, but spiritual transformation from the inside out. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, can I tell you there is no behavior modification you can do to get right with God? You can try to be a better person, but you're already disqualified for heaven because you're not perfect. You say, I'm going to try to be more religious. Religion will not get you to heaven. There's hundreds and thousands of religions. We're not talking about religion. We're talking about a personal relationship, which is the only way to get to heaven, because Jesus says He's the one way. He's the only way to heaven. There's not 2, 3, 5, or 10 ways to heaven. There's one way according to God's word. John 14:6. Jesus says what is with His own lips. You can read it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father. No one goes to heaven except through me. You see, God so loved you that He sent Jesus to be born from a virgin, to grow up. And at 33 years of age, He was tortured, beaten, hung on a cross for a purpose. He didn't hang there because of anything He did wrong. He didn't take punishment for anything He did wrong. He took punishment by choice for your wrong and my wrongs. And He died, and they buried Him in a borrowed tomb. And 3 days later, He defeated death for all of us, that whoever would trust in Him and put their faith in what He did and in his perfection, he would give you credit for his perfection because he's already paid the penalty for your imperfection. And so whoever would receive Jesus by faith as Savior and Lord, that whatever you die, God looks at you and he sees his son inside of you. That's how you get to heaven. It's a gift that cost Jesus his life, but it's a gift that's available to you if you'll ask. By faith, receive it that one way. If that's you today, right wherever you're at, whether you're at home, whether you're seated here in this room, if that's you and you're not 100% sure that if today was your last day on this earth, you hope to get to heaven, you can know. You can know for certain if you receive Jesus. If that's you right where you're at, make this your prayer. Say, God, I don't understand it all, but I know I'm not perfect. And if what I've just heard is true, there's only one way to heaven. And I don't know when my last day on this earth is going to be. Jesus, I want a personal relationship with you. I don't just need you for when I die. I want to live the rest of my life on purpose and become the person you created me to be. So Jesus, by faith, I ask you to come into my heart. I receive you as Savior and Lord. And from this day forward, I will never doubt whether I belong to you because I'm giving my life to you right now. No matter how long I live, I know where I'm going now because you can't lie, and I've trusted the one way. So Jesus, from this day forward, I want to learn to love you like you love me. I want to use my time, my talent, my resources to make a difference for eternity in others' lives. And God, I'm going to begin to train today to become who you created me to be. And we say thanks. I give you all the honor and the glory and the praise in the name that's above all names, the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen.